Welcome back to another FN podcast. I'm your host and your best friend, if you'll have me. I'm Michelle Lykowski. I'm joined by Stan Lykowski, Luke Ward, and our big, wonderful producer, Dan McInerney. And don't be jealous that we got him. If you wanted him, I bet he would let you hire him, too. I don't know. He's kind of a whore. Anyway, welcome. We are talking about sitcoms.
Are we? Yeah. So, I'm already firing shots on this episode.
We are doing... Oh,
go ahead. Sorry.
No. Go ahead. You go ahead.
We are doing the top 25 sitcom episodes, a list from the AV Club, which stretches from 1990 to 2015. This was number 23 on their list, and this is the show Girls, and the episode Beach House, which was season 3, episode 7, written by Jenny Connor, Lena Dunham, and Judd Apatow. Directed by Jesse Peretz, and the original air date was February 16th, 2014. And the synopsis is, Marnie invites the girls to her mother's friend's beach house for the weekend. While there, Hannah runs into Elijah, and the girls learn a lot about themselves through each other. And the only thing I want to say before we get started, and this will be fun, is I really like this episode. So let's see where this goes.
I don't know who to go to because I can tell you can't. No one out there can see Mo's face, but she did not care for this episode. I'm guessing.
Oh, she's the one of us that liked it more. Wait till you get to my opinion.
Oh no, I mean, well, two things. I mean, I watched the show on and off in real time when
it
was on, and it was one of the. Not one of the first, but I remember thinking it was terrible when I watched it. And then every woman I spoke with was like, oh, man, I relate to that show. I get the relationships that these women have, especially being 22 and the decisions that they're making. And I was like, oh, there's OK, then I'm going to watch this as an observer who does not relate to the characters at all, like at all. And I had a more of an appreciation for it. It is hard. So this episode in particular was weird because it was, you know, like I watched it with my wife. My wife. And she was like,
my wife.
There you go. Thank you.
Good.
It's
comedy is all about timing.
Yeah. It's weird to watch it out of context because, you know, there were arcs that went across the season, and a big part of that was like that they all got into fights and Elijah. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, they do catch you up so that you're like you don't get lost on
in
any of it.
But,
yeah, I liked it. I liked. I don't like them, but I like the episode. Mm-hmm, do you know what I mean? Like I especially having just watched Everybody Hates Chris. The fucking privilege that oozes from this episode.
This is part of what I hate about it.
Yeah.
But
this is...
Well, go ahead, Stan.
I feel like... I, as did Luke, watched it in real time a bit. And this is more on me than anything, but I have no memory of any of it. I don't remember anything about it. This is what I decided watching it. I think they're reflecting a very specific and real population of people that I don't want to know or know anything about. That was sort of my take. Like, they're all really unlikable, and I get that sometimes people are, but I don't know that I want to watch it.
Michelle?
Whereas you have your office where they're kind of unlikable, but their heart, there's goodness. I don't know that there's any goodness in almost any of the girls on this show or people.
Yeah.
I mean, you can see, I love vulnerability. Can't say it, but I love it. And their vulnerability, I really can't say it, is so... It's privileged. Like, it's a privileged vulnerability. How is that possible? I don't know, but watch Girls and you'll see.
Yeah.
I watched maybe the first season of Girls when it came out because I'm a woman and, you know, like, I went through this. And I went to a school in New York City called AMDA, American Musical and Dramatic Academy.
She usually adds, ever heard of it?
Wait, have people... Honestly?
Yeah, I think AMDA's pretty big.
I've never heard of it. If it's not Harvard, I don't know it.
Yeah. Oh, I feel that.
No, Luke didn't go to Harvard. He just knows
it. I don't know where I went. If it's not Harvard, I don't know it. There was some sort of school. It was based in Syracuse. That's all I know. I had to keep going back there, but I don't know the name of the place.
Cornell. Never heard of it.
No, again.
No. So, so there were a lot of girls at AMDA because it was a very expensive school to go to, and I just paid it off when I was 5 years ago, guys, and I'm 50. But I don't need to see them portrayed. Can't say vulnerability. Mm. Can't say portrayed. I lived it, and I got uninvited to a friend's rich wedding because I wasn't appropriate at something, but we were best friends. Like, all of that shit, I lived it, and I didn't like it then, and I don't like it when it came out 15 years ago. Didn't like it then. Mm-hmm. Don't like it as a 50-year-old. Like, all of it is gross, and I understand that it might be, like I said, The Office for some, or that show that has that fun music that sounds like a clown show. It's on HBO and it's still going on. Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Curb Your Enthusiasm. Yeah. Yes.
But I don't need these people.
Yeah. Well, this show does a thing where you don't know if you're supposed to be laughing with or laughing at them.
Mm. Right.
Mm. You know, like, I think of like the show It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, where those people are horrible.
Yeah.
And you watch because you're just like, you cannot get worse, and you're dumb, oh my God.
But it's funny.
Yeah. I mean, there was some stuff I enjoyed with this I thought was funny, you know, and there's moments like Hannah's narcissism can be funny, but it's just hard to, because you, on the one hand, you want to criticize her, but then on the other hand, you're like, am I supposed to be sympathetic towards you, or do I not like you? Because you seem to think that you have a lot of problems. And the fact that they call it out, like Shoshana.
Yeah,
I love that moment, because I do remember her being quiet and she's calling it all out. And she's just like, I wish I could have better friends and all I have is you. And I was like, wow, that was really interesting. And
Oh, the only thing I want to say was I've never seen the show, and actually didn't know a ton about it. For me, watching this episode, I felt like I was like a fly on the wall at someone else's house. That I was like, because I didn't know who these people were really. I mean, like I said, they do kind of quickly catch you up on some stuff, but I felt like a sociologist just watching like some like foreign culture and being like kind of fascinated by it. I thought this episode was really well written.
It was.
And directed.
Yeah.
And I sort of feel like this is the only episode of the show I've ever watched, and I really enjoyed it. And I think this is the only episode I ever want to watch, because clearly these people are insufferable. Yeah. And I think if I tried to watch like, you know, multiple scenes of this, it would just drive me crazy. But just watching this one episode, I thought it was fascinating, and I love, there was stuff that made me laugh out loud. Like when they're like, you should wear shoes, and she's like, no, it's a beach town, it's fine. And then the next shot is her getting thrown out of the grocery store because she's not wearing shoes. Like that made me laugh out loud.
Yeah.
Because I was like, of course, what are you talking about? Of course you have to wear shoes. You're like, she's clearly such a like narcissistic lunatic. And that would have driven me crazy other than the fact that Shoshana later, when they're having the fight, is like, if I have to hear one more time about how you bruise more easily than other people, I'm going to fucking kill myself. That also made me laugh out loud.
Yeah.
I was like, because they're pointing out like that these people are insufferable.
Yeah.
But these people exist. And I understand if you're like, look, I don't want to watch these people. Like, I know they exist, but I don't have to watch them. I totally understand that. But for this one episode, I really like enjoyed it. I thought it was actually great.
Yeah. And I think it's detrimental to the show if I had never seen an episode before, but I hated it from like the giddy up.
I don't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
So I went into it going, I'm going to hate this. But I thought that this was the episode with Patrick Wilson, and I was pretty excited about that episode, but it wasn't. So there you go.
Really? That was a weird one, too. That was...
So
I remember that episode, and sorry, Stan, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I had the opposite feeling, which was I know I had seen Girls and watched it. I came back to it. So I feel like, and correct me if I'm wrong, but like it was kind of groundbreaking, wasn't it? Because I almost feel like people were like, well, you could write comedy this way now. It doesn't have to be set up punchline. In fact, maybe it doesn't even have to be funny. You know? So I was at least neutral walking into it. And to be fair to this one specific episode, it's a like everything comes to a head episode. So I think they're really leaning on probably how insufferable they are.
Right.
But all that being said, to me, and this goes to my personal experience, like I know people from the Brooklyn area that are very much like this. And everything came to them. Like, it's just like, I don't need to see people who create their own struggles because they had no real ones.
Right.
Nice.
Yeah. I mean, again, I go back to the thing of like, am I supposed to laugh at them or am I supposed to relate to them? You know, is it, I don't know how it's just, it's a very, it's.
I'm glad you don't relate to them.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, like, when I was, you know, 22, 25, whatever they are. Yeah, they're 22. I think she does.
She's 20. I think she's just 25 in one point.
I didn't make great choices, and I was a bit more self-absorbed in my decision-making than I'd like to think that I am now.
But I don't want to watch your story either. How's
that? Honestly, Luke, she doesn't want to watch your story now.
Oh, my God. Jesus.
I also want to say, so for the audience, everyone, the four girls go to this beach house.
It's such a beautiful beach house, too.
Oh, right. Well, and again,
and it's a nice start where she's putting the little cards out, what she's expecting to be this wonderful weekend.
Right.
But the fact that they go to have a fight. Okay, sorry. Go ahead, Dan.
No, I was going to say, well, I mean, I love the little details. I love that clearly her character is so controlling and she assigns everyone bedrooms before they get there. And then they want to pick and she's like, no, I've already assigned you. Like, I think that was a great little moment. But they come, and I think the thing that was clear, even though I hadn't watched it, was that like their friendships are deteriorating and at this point, they almost kind of don't really want to be friends anymore. Mm-hmm. But it's like, how do you stop being friends with someone and so like, and there's a part where, which, and I read this, I don't want to seem like I'm this smart because I'm not, but there's
nobody
the part where
you're this smart, Dan.
Yeah. There's a part where
he goes into a math equation.
But I was gonna say, there's a part where they're in the pool and there's like this weird thing where he's like, oh, he thinks the word inertia means going too fast. And he's like, whatever, and she's like, I thought that too. But someone pointed out that the reason why that's brought up is because that's what they're going through. They're going through inertia. Mm. They're not friends anymore.
Yeah. Mm.
But just through inertia, just because it's easier to stay friends than to have to break up with your friend, is like they're just kind of going through the motions until it finally boils over. So I thought that was interesting. The only thing I want to say is that the other thing, this gave me crazy flashbacks because my first 2 years in college, I was in the drama program.
At AMDA?
Not at AMDA. No.
Harvard?
But,
it must have been Harvard then.
Yes. Yeah, it was Harvard. Me and my friend Conan O'Brien were hanging out. But no, I was in the drama program and every fucking party was this.
Mm-hmm.
Was everyone gets drunk. We're going to do a funny choreography thing.
That was cringy
that
to
shit.
Me. And they did it twice. Didn't they do it twice in the episode?
Yeah.
Yes. Ugh. But then it was that. And then like past midnight, everyone was too drunk and it would turn into these huge fucking fights. And the only thing that my friend and I, who also were like a little bit on the outside of it, my friend Joe. Hey, Joe, if you're out there.
Joe.
Hey, Joe.
But we had this joke where you always know a drama party is coming to an end when someone says they're going to commit suicide. And then I was kind of like, is this the way like just college or being an adult is? And then I transferred after
to
my
Harvard?
Sophomore year. But I transferred into the communications department and was doing film and television production. And no, after those parties, we just hung out.
Yeah.
We
yeah.
just hung out, smoked pot, and just talked about movies. And that was it. And, and so, but there was this feeling of like, oh, not only like, of people performing. I think that was the other part of it too.
Yeah.
Where people were performing this like, look, oh, look how dramatic my life is.
Yeah.
Like that reminded me so much. And also the thing of people just being so casually fucking mean to each other.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Like there was so much of that in this episode. And again, I understand if you don't want to watch it, but I was like, oh man, I know people like that.
Yeah.
Who are just so casually like mean to each other. And it's like, why are you people friends? Like, why do you still hang out for years? And then like, you'll just be like, you're, you know, just basically call someone a fucking idiot to their face.
Yeah.
And there was one part where like, somebody says something like, you're not talented. And he's like, I know I'm talented. I spent $80,000.
That made me laugh.
Yeah.
I thought that was just, well, see that's the part of the show that I think is probably where it's at its best. Like it's poking fun subtly. Right. Like that's a joke, but it's also not a joke, you know? Right. Like he probably really believes I did my time by spending the money. Of course I'm talented.
Hello, right. I just paid off my
and, they sent Michelle a certificate that said talented.
I was just gonna say, there are some shows where the characters make poor choices. And you forgive them because either you know they're coming from a place of insecurity or negativity or something, or personal struggle, or there are some shows where the people make bad choices because they're downright evil, and it's fun to watch that. And this is some weird space where they make poor choices, and you're like, why are you even doing that? Why don't you like? I remember not like the part about the show I didn't like was just there was just so many bad choices being made over and over and over again.
You know the one I honestly cannot get over, and I know it's a show, and I know she lets them stay for dinner. Lena Dornham's character. It's like you're at a guest house, and you let
eight dudes
or however many dudes come. The lady who runs the house just told you don't let them stay for dinner, and then she lets. I'm like you. That would have been it. I would have been like, get the fuck out of my house, and you're done.
But also, that, you know, and maybe that's the breaking point. You know, there's a certain point where you kind of go like, oh, this is who this person is, and maybe it takes time. I definitely have friends who it took me a long time to be like, oh, that's who they are. Mm-hmm. I had blinders on, but as an audience member, you're just like, oh God. I hope this person just crashes and burns because it's awful. They're just not a good person, and
the first episode Lena is, and it is Lena. It's not a character. This is Lena.
That's her, right? Yeah.
Oh, 100%. I mean, the thing that I do have problems with Lena Dunham based on privilege, and that's not fair. To me at all, or to her. I apologize, Lena. I know you're listening. But she is getting taken off her parents' money, whatever that. I don't
inheritance?
Know that. It's not an...
A trust fund?
She has like a trust fund,
Or allowance?
Allowance. She's going to have to start working, and having, you know, worked four jobs, like, constantly in my 20s, it just... Yeah. I was so, that's the minute I was done, but I was told that I needed to keep watching it. However, you guys bring up some really good points about the cruelty of drama people. I did that. Like, I'm not proud I had a wake up call when I was making fun of this guy who was giving us free drinks after hours because I'm not even going to go into why, and because I'm embarrassed by it. And the girlfriend who was there, she goes, you have a black heart. And it, like, stopped me in my tracks and made me want to be a better person. So watching this and seeing that going, that is a reflect. I didn't have the privilege, but that cruelty that's just so easily just like flippant out of your mouth is something I don't ever want to go back to.
I know it's the same way. I just want to say real quick, that moment when they're all having dinner and they're all making fun of her because the dinner is so small.
Yeah.
And like, I have been in that situation where I do just so badly want to be like, motherfuckers, first of all, I made you dinner.
Yeah.
Second of all, there's only supposed to be four people here.
Yeah. Right.
Like, what the fuck do you want? And even if she says that, they're still making fun of her.
Yeah.
And like, I've been in that situation with people where you're just like, what the fuck? Like, you know, or... Conversely, like, Mo, I have been the person who's, like, relentlessly making fun of people.
Yep.
Yeah. And then being like, what? It's a joke.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I definitely had like, around, like, the age of, like, 31, had to be, like, call people. Like, I actually did call a friend of mine from high school and just be like, I just want to apologize. Aww. We just, like, brutally made fun of you all the time. Ugh. Like, you are a good guy. We were dicks. I'm sorry.
Well,
and he was just kind of like, I guess so. Whatever.
I have to go make some calls.
Wait, hold on. My phone is buzzing. Yeah. This is really where I think they're good at what they do. My question is, should they have made the show? Like,
well, I think that's tough.
But
well, because the only thing that makes me, and I think back at the time, because I think bringing up Curb Your Enthusiasm is a perfect example, where he's an old white man who's a fucking dick and everyone loves him. And it's like, but these are four women who are also pieces of shit, but oh, you can't do that. Like, women are not allowed to do that. I'm not saying that anyone's thinking that, but that's what makes me uncomfortable about it, where it's like, how come Larry David is allowed to do it? And I think probably because that show is funnier.
He does
better.
It better is, I think, the problem. Like, I don't want to hang out with him either. But
I can't watch that show either.
Yeah, okay. That's a hard show to binge because there is only so much cringe humor you can take. With this, it's hard to know if they're going for cringe humor or it's like
accurate portrayal.
Yeah, you know? But even so, what are you supposed to do with that information? You know, like it is. I remember being groundbreaking for having that mirror up to the way things are. You know, especially with Lena Dunham, just like being naked all the time, and it was like, you know, hey, this is how bodies are, and this is how things are. And
but I don't know anyone who would be naked all the time either. So,
but I
think like I thought the same. I was like, wow, she's really wearing a bikini for a really long time.
Well, I mean, I love that running joke that she never puts on anything else.
Right.
Yeah. That throughout the entire episode, she's in that super skimpy bikini. Yeah. But I mean, I think the point is just supposed to be that she's totally clueless. She doesn't see how other people see her, and she's just like, you know, she has no social grace. She just thinks, oh yeah, I can go into a supermarket without shoes on and a bikini because I'm Lena Dunham or whatever her name in the show is. I'm this person. Yeah. I can do whatever the fuck I want, and it's constantly surprised.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know,
when she can.
I watched. well, actually, I'm proud of it. I don't know why I'm being, but on Paramount Plus, they had the original Real World reunion.
Okay.
And it was like 30 years later. I know.
I love Real World.
Oh my God.
Don't be ashamed. I love that show back in the day.
It was a 6-episode thing. Should have been a 45-minute special. Whatever. But, and apologies, because there's going to be some spoilers here, if that's okay. But Becky and Kevin get into a fight. And they do freely admit, both of them, that like the producers, you know, like poured gasoline on them and then lit a match and to see what happened. And they both fell into it and they both admit that. But like Becky thinks that she is, at least the way it's edited together, I don't know enough about this woman to whatever, but you know, thinks that she is liberal and free thinking and an ally. And she, you know, she even says the line at one point to Kevin, like, I have black friends. Like what, you know, what's the problem? But is so unaware of her privilege and her thing that she doesn't have the wherewithal to put that guard down and say like, oh, I have a lot to learn and you know, which is what Kevin, it was also eerie how I remember Kevin being portrayed and feeling that Kevin was just like this angry black man. And really Kevin was saying all the things that we all say now that was like, no, there's systemic racism. There's this. And everybody was like, no, there's not. And like, yes, there fucking is, you know, and he's just been like, yeah, I've been saying it, but you know, I've learned to change the tone, whatever. Anyway, the point is, there is a part of Becky, and maybe because it's a real person, that's like, I want to be a better person. I want to do good. I think that I'm a good person, but I am failing hard. But she's failing horribly at it because she's not able to turn it off. I don't think that Hannah is a good person.
I agree.
And yeah. I don't know that there's even a hint of her trying to do good, trying to be better, trying to be in a better place. And you as an audience member are meant to relate or hate her. And I think you're meant to sympathize with her or like her. And it's hard. It's really, really hard to do.
You can't like someone who I can't like someone who isn't trying. She could try and fail, and I'm okay with that, but she doesn't try.
I think, and she says that in the episode. There's some line where, you know, I think the other girl,
yeah,
I don't know their names, but she says something like, you know, I was hoping maybe this would be different, and she says, you've known me all these years, and I'm not changing.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Stop trying.
Yeah.
Which was the one, which was the part of the episode where I was just like, oh boy. Like, if someone said that to me, I'd be like, I would get my coat and leave. I'd be like, fine, then this is over. There's no sense in, I mean, I guess it was her house, so she couldn't leave. But still, like, you know, that was the one episode where I was like, oh, that's heartbreaking. Like, that's, the person's just like, I'm never going to
change. Right, like, this is it.
No matter how hard you try.
And even the cast members are interesting because it's Allison Wilson,
Williamson.
And then the playwright's daughter, Soshi.
Josha Mamet.
Yeah, and then Hannah is, she had artistic parents, very wealthy, you know, lived in Brooklyn. I don't know about the fourth, but all of them come from this.
Yeah.
They had this. Like, don't tell me Brian Williams didn't send his daughter to everything, you know, like, and he had the beach house. So it is hard to watch these first generation very wealthy kids and know that I'm supposed to sympathize.
Well, I mean, this is a show that it is very, very hard to separate the art from the artist.
Yes.
Because it is very hard to, I think, like you said, I think to separate Lena Dunham from Hannah.
Yeah.
To have a moment. And again, you know, like, there are plenty of shows where you don't sympathize with the main character, but you love to watch them because there's something fun about them. And there's not as much fun here with them.
My favorite scene actually involves none of the girls because I'm a huge misogynist, but no, the scene where, I'm sorry, I don't remember their names, but like Hannah's ex, who is gay,
Elijah.
And his boyfriend, the very short man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The scene where Elijah sort of, clearly he's being mistreated, Elijah. His boyfriend sort of doesn't take him seriously, and he confesses that he loves him. And the boyfriend is essentially like, oh, this, you think this, basically he says, oh, you thought this was going somewhere, or you thought that like we were more, and he immediately regrets it, and he starts having sex with the guy to just stop the conversation, right?
Yeah.
Like that desperateness, and like his, that's the moment where somebody stronger would leave, right? But he's not stronger, and he doesn't. I thought that was very honest and very realistic.
And
I loved how, different parts of the episode, they're either the victim or the bully.
Yeah,
both are happening because he's brutally making fun of her at dinner.
Yes,
yeah.
And then, but then, you know, is not strong enough to be like fuck you.
Right,
you know.
Right.
He immediately like gets bullied himself.
Yeah.
All that being said, all that being said, I thought the episode actually was structured really well and very enjoyable to watch.
The writing is incredible.
Doesn't it remind you almost of like a mini like movie from like where like. You know, like I'm.
Oh, it felt like a play,
like a one-act play or something.
No,
right?
It reminded me. Sorry, just because. It has the same kind of structure and ending as the movie Big Night with Stanley Tucci and Tony Shalhoub.
Yeah.
Where it just leads to this dinner, they get drunk. It leads to a fight that doesn't really get resolved, and then they wake up the next morning and make breakfast and it's over.
Like, yeah.
Nothing gets resolved.
I did love the button at the end of Girls. Like when they're doing the dance again but not doing it. That was a nice button.
I liked that they reconciled. The starting to do the little dance moves made me cringe a little bit. Like just sitting there at the bus stop or whatever. I was just like
But that's the thing. Yeah. I don't think they necessarily reconciled. I think they were like, well, we have to get on this bus together.
You're right. Reconcile is not the right word.
Yeah.
But like aligned maybe, but not reconciled. Or I don't
know. Or just accepted the fact that they're stuck together for the next, you know, bus ride long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At the very least. But yeah. I mean, again, and I don't know what you were cringing at, Sam, but I've definitely been in the group of people where we're at the bus stop and they're like, let's do a dance.
Yeah, that would make me cringe every time.
And everyone will pay attention to us because we're doing a little dance here at the bus stop. Aren't we so fun?
So you being with them, what was your reaction?
Well, that's the other thing too. I mean, I definitely had that was the other thing that reminded me of was like when I was in high school and college, I had a ton of friends who I didn't like.
Right.
But it was just like they were always just around.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, I had one friend in particular in high school where I was like, why do we, and no one likes this guy. Why do we keep calling him? And then we'd be like, yeah, you're right. And then the next weekend he'd be at the party and I'd be like, all right, forget it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how he keeps showing up here, but I mean, that's the other thing too.
I took stage combat in college and I didn't know the class very well, but I knew everybody in it, obviously. And I was in the cafeteria like a week later and one of the guys from the class tried to start a stage fight with me in the middle of the cafeteria and I didn't do any of it. Like I felt really badly. Like he tried to pick up a tray and like, and he was almost like, come on, man. And I was like, nah, I'm not going to do this in the middle of like 200 people eating their lunch.
Oh man.
Yeah.
We had like a big circle of like dudes that I hung out with in college. And there was like one guy who just didn't like me and I didn't like him, which is fine. And except Let's call him Conan. he had great hair. And we went skiing once and he was really like, we had a really close mutual friend, you know, and it was almost like we were vying for that friend's attention. Ugh. And so he was a ski instructor and like we went skiing. I'd never skied before. I took a quick lesson, figured it out, did a couple of greens, and then all of a sudden stumbled onto a black diamond, and it was in Syracuse, so it's not terrible, like it's short, but we were literally like, the guy was like, it was the three of us, me, you know, and the guy that didn't like me was like, all right, we're gonna go down this hill, and he was helping my friend make his way down, because my friend had never been skiing either, and I just started going straight down the hill.
No.
And he's just yelling, hockey stop, hockey stop. And I was like, I don't know what that means.
What does that mean?
Yeah. And I'm going straight and I'm yelling, get out of the way, look out, you know, like God. Flailing, going just hundreds of miles an hour. And it curves. And the way the thing is, like the hill like curves kind of up at the end, like dips up.
Oh, gosh.
And then there's the lodge. And I'm like, and I'm in my mind's eye picturing myself like in some sort of like Mel Brooks movie where I'm like going to fly up in the air, fly through the window, land on the bar. And someone's going to be like, check, please. You know, like that's going to happen. And instead, so I'm going like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And I get to the bottom and I do the perfect hockey stop and stop on a dime. And I was totally fine. And no one was around to see that. No one was around to see it. It was all because this guy didn't bother to like teach me a lesson. He was like, yeah, hockey stop, whatever.
I hate him.
I'm glad you're alive.
Thanks.
If we're wrapping up, I just want to throw out one other thing.
Yes.
Which is that I, as someone who grew up on Long Island, I really appreciated the specific that they're on the North Fork.
Yeah.
And everyone keeps mentioning they're in the Hamptons and she keeps correcting them, but they're not in the Hamptons. They're on the North Fork. By the way, that is where the real rich people go because the Hamptons is for tourists who want to pretend they're rich. If you're truly rich, you go to the North Fork to be away from all the tourists. I love that detail. And also the beaches are rocky there. They're not sand.
Mm-hmm.
They're rock. So I was just like, oh, you've got all the details right. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Well, they probably just picked one of their houses to film it.
I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure. Oh, yeah. So, the girl played Marnie. We can do this now. I had it pulled up.
Thank you.
Anyway, her last name was Williams because her father was Brian Williams.
Yeah.
And the one of the other girls is her father was the drummer for Bad Company, the 70s rock band.
That has
and
one
then
song
the last one,
was
he, her name is...
Was he in Bad Company until his death? Because I understand he was Bad Company till the day he died.
That's true.
It was a long walk to get there, but
no, I loved it. It was totally worth it. Totally worth it. And yes, on the other one, the other actresses, her last name is Mamet because her dad is
David Mamet. Rebecca Pigeon is her mom, or is that
his
second wife?
You're right.
That's a good question. No. Actress Lindsay Krause is her mother.
Oh.
So I don't know. Anyway, so all right. Any other thoughts on this? I mean, it's so funny because I think that we all agree, and yet you either liked it or you didn't.
Yeah.
And again, I think if maybe I had watched this show like a couple episodes, I'd feel the same way you guys did. But I just like it was for this one episode, I was like, this is fascinating.
Yeah.
I sort of feel like, I mean, I agree with what you're saying, but I also like, so if Lena Dunham had done a show where she's like, I'm a poor person and I know what poor people are like.
You're right.
Like, is that any better? Like, or just be like, this is what I am. This is my truth, even though it's kind of off-putting.
And people loved it. Like,
right.
Stan and I are probably, it was picked up for 5 years. So it wasn't like it wasn't, it was very popular. Fucking Judd Apatow. I love that guy. So,
and I think if you compare this to like Sex and the City, right, where it's like this like fun fantasy where being rich in the city is so fun. And I do think at least they get credit of being like, these people are horrible.
Yeah.
Like, or at least a lot of them are. Like, this is sort of the flip side of something like that, where it's like actual rich people are like miserable because they don't have any problems in their life. So they have to invent new ones. Yeah.
Tell
me
about it.
I'm
looking at you, Uncle Phil.
I respect the show. Like, look at how much we just gabbed about it, and like there's still more to be talked about. I guess there's no one in the show that that I side with. Like, there's no voice for me, and I think that's very uncomfortable and off-putting, maybe.
Hmm.
And then on the bottom line, like I think that the fact that it was chosen. They made the show based on this, but like they're glorifying stuff that repulses me, I guess is the best way to put it. And I know that piece is in all of us. Like, we all do these things, but I think really honing in on it and saying like, let's really like laser focus on it. It just, it doesn't work for me. That's all.
It also might be an age thing too. Cause I mean, like, watch Dirty Dancing now.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I do. That's every Sunday morning.
Good. That is a movie about in my mind, it's about a father trying to protect his daughter from a pedophile who works at a local. But no matter what who may or may not have impregnated his friend, and yet, in the end, the pedophile wins. So, you know. Swayze.
There's a lot of movies where I agree with the parents now.
Yeah.
When I didn't used to.
The age thing is a really great point because I bet
Footloose
in the 20s it was like, oh my gosh, they're so awful. I love it. You know what I mean? Like, but I am not there anymore. Maybe I never was, but I'm certainly not there now.
Yeah.
Are we ready to wrap up?
Yeah.
Do we think this?
Good question.
Modern Family, Fizbo's.
It's like comparing apples to the number 3.
Would we knock this off the? Would we knock Fizbo off the top?
No, because here's the thing. I think structurally, it is better than Fizbo. Like, I felt like
the writing is better.
Yeah, like a one act play versus whatever, but.
But it's not a sitcom.
I just fucking hate them.
We didn't even get to that conversation.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a good question. Does this count as a sitcom? I mean, I don't know.
I don't know either. I don't know what the situation is.
Yeah.
Well, the situation is there.
I don't know where the comedy is.
They're at a beach.
Yeah.
I mean, that's being really sarcastic.
I mean, I did laugh.
I agree. Yeah. I'm just being snotty.
But but I agree. It's not, you know, I mean, you can certainly laugh at a drama too.
Yeah, so that's true.
It's just the question of like what
Schindler's
is it?
List count? Is hilarious. If you look at it,
to answer your question, I do.
She's wearing red.
I put Fizbo above this.
Yeah, I think
okay.
As a comment,
I agree.
I think
Fizbo.
I do too.
Fizbo.
When Fizbo wore that bikini the whole episode, though, I thought that was really weird.
Isn't it? Fizbo's going to somehow inexplicably be the top one of the 25 episodes. No.
I think next episode we need to find out who on the AV Club was doing the picking.
Yeah, who's the author of this? Or is it the whole AV Club?
We'll figure it out next.
Don't, you guys can Google it. You're listening. It's nice.
Yeah, okay. You do that. Let us
you
know.
You do the math.
Yeah.
At another Ethan podcast, I think.
Yeah. Well, Michelle, you want to take us home?
Hi, guys. I just really feel like this is a great journey for all of us. And thank you so much for listening to another FM podcast about sitcoms. Oh, and next week we are watching, we are not doing Louie because it's not available anywhere and also problematic. Yeah. So
we really dodged the bullet with the fact that we can't.
We can't find it.
Guys, I got a ball on, I got a ball on DVD. I'll send them your way.
Yeah. You just have to go to Louie CK's house. Watch one thing first, and he actually then you get the DVDs.
He just performs the episode for you. Yeah.
While masturbating. We are going to do Spaced, which is our first English sitcom, I believe.
Nope.
And the episode
Fleabag.
It's Michelle's first English sitcom.
Yeah, that's true.
Fuck you both. all three of you. I said two, but I meant all of you. The episode is called Gone, not Gone Girl, because that's something different. So anyway, you can, watch it now with us before. I am your host, Michelle Lykowski, and I am joined by other people, and they're going to say their names now.
Stan.
Luke.
Dan, the producer.
And we look forward to hearing whether or not you like us by rating.
Yeah, I would love for you to tear me a new one about girls. I'm fine with that. Feel free.
Or tear me a new one. I mean, I think it's two totally legitimate opinions.
I do agree with that.
I could use a new one. So if you'd like to tear it for me, I'd really appreciate it.
I've got plenty of holes. Leave me alone.
All right, goodbye, everybody.
Bye. Bye.
This has been another effing podcast about sitcoms. The music for our theme song is by Ryan Satoy, and the lyrics and vocals are by our own Michelle Lykowski. Our logo was created by Luke Ward. Follow us on Instagram, and if you could leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, well, we'd certainly appreciate it. Another effing podcast about sitcoms will return in this time slot next week.
Sit, Ubu, sit. Good dog.